Turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Right before Amos and Obadiah. Joel chapter 2. It's hard to believe this is our 22nd Bible study on the Holy Spirit. And by the way, this is going to be the last one for now. I'm going to start a new series next Wednesday night. But this is the 22nd. And I'm excited about this one. I think this may be, and I feel this way about every sermon I preach, it's the most important one at the time. But this one may make more sense to you. It may help you understand some terminology that's used in our world, and some of it's misused. And so I want to help you tonight. Keep your Bibles ready. We're going to use them a lot. Maybe not at the beginning, but towards the middle and end, we're going to be turning to quite a few places. So Joel chapter 2, let's read, start in verse number 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and the pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, I need you tonight. Help me. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth so your people can understand. Lord, you're very capable of saying it, but we sinners sometimes just hear an awful lot and we're not sure what it says. So help us to take what you say literally and help us to abide by it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me start by saying this, and I've said it often in this Bible study. I'll say it a lot in my preaching. The Holy Spirit is not just for preachers. The Holy Spirit is not just for church staff. According to Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit is for every saved person. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says that they're born again. Now, their body doesn't get born again. Amen, ladies? amen, fellas? The body doesn't get reborn. The soul does not get reborn. The spirit is dead in man by trespasses and sin. And when a person gets saved, their spirit is reborn. It's renewed. It's regenerated. It's regeneticized by the Holy Spirit. That's what John chapter 3 is. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So we are born by the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. So it is our spirit that gets reborn, and the Holy Spirit then resides in the believer. Matter of fact, in the book of Romans, it says he indwells us. Now, listen to this very carefully. Every person who trusts Christ as Savior, listen to this, has the Holy Spirit of God residing in them.
That's right.
Everyone. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is controlling them. It does mean that the Holy Spirit is in them. I don't mean this, and I wouldn't separate it over anybody over this, but I think it's a little unscriptural to say, well, you put Jesus in your heart. No, you accept what Jesus did, but Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now.
Yes,
it's the Holy Spirit who moves inside. Now, it's because of what Christ did that we get saved. I agree with you, but it's the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. Now, listen to this. The Holy Spirit, then, according to God's word, not my word, the Holy Spirit, according to the word of God, is for all flesh. That's what he said. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Wow. In other words, the Holy Spirit's not just for old people. The Holy Spirit's not just for young people. The Holy Spirit's not just for preachers. The Holy Spirit's not just for those that are saved, sanctified, and filled with Him. It's not just for those who lay in the floor and flip and flop and speak in unknown languages, so to speak. No, it says He will pour it out. The Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. It's not just for leaders. Verse 29 says, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Wow. In other words, it's for everybody. The Holy Spirit is for every saved person, and He is there to fill every saved person. Now, those who are obedient, those who are submissive, can be filled with Him. But listen to me, it's just like the gas tank on your car. Just because you filled it once doesn't mean it runs forever. It is a constant refilling. It's not like salvation that once you get it, it's done forever. The fullness of the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit is on a continual basis. Everybody understand that? That doesn't mean that He leaves you, but how much of you He controls is based on you, not Him. The fullness of His usefulness in your life, the fullness of God using you is based on you, not the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say it this way. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not a carnival sideshow. He fills us so that people will get saved by hearing the gospel. The fullness of the Spirit is not for you. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is for God. God wants to show the world what He can do, but He'll only do it through those who yield to the Holy Spirit. Folks, everybody look at me for a moment. Anybody that gets up and makes a big deal and makes a big show and becomes the glitter and the glamour and says, oh, I got it, I got it, I got it, it must be the Holy Ghost. Guess what? It's not the Holy Ghost. It may be a spirit, but it's not a Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there so people can get the gospel and be saved, so that people will get closer to God and see truth, not see someone. This tongue wagon showy stuff, and I'll get into this. Listen to this statement. Sinful humans cannot save anyone. We have no ability to save anyone. Now listen to this. We cannot forgive sins eternally because we're sinners. I love this. I love this. I love this. Man tries to play God when we think someone must ask us to forgive them. When you say that person's got to be forgiven by the church or they have to leave the church, quit playing God. You can't forgive them anyway. Everybody doing okay? You can't forgive their sin. Let me say it this way. Forgiveness is not for the person who was wronged. Forgiveness is for the one who did wrong. If I walked up and punched Brother Greg Dyker in the nose, he doesn't need forgiveness. I need the forgiveness. I'll probably need something else because he'll hit me with his cane too. But anyway, hard, yeah, if you can see straight enough. Now, listen to me. So forgiveness is not for the one who's had their feelings hurt by somebody. Forgiveness is not for the family who has been embarrassed by somebody who did wrong. Forgiveness is for the person who did wrong, and it's supposed to be given by the greater person, not the lesser. That's why we're not going to stand anybody up here and have them tell you what wrong they did. You can't forgive them anyway. You're just as bad a sinner as they are. Everybody doing okay? I always say this. They say, well, there's such a thing as church discipline. Wonderful. Show me in the Bible what sins are supposed to go before the church. They say, well, certain ones. Okay, show me the certain ones in the Bible. You won't find them. Well, the Bible says confess your faults one to another. Do you know what the word fault is? It's not your sin. If I backed into Brother Barnes's truck tonight while he was sitting still, guess whose fault it is? Mine. I'm supposed to confess the fact that it was my fault that it happened. Not what happened, but that the blame goes to me. Everybody doing okay? The word fault there means blame. Not what the sin is. Everybody doing okay? Man, that's good stuff. I'm having fun. God does not seek us to force us into forgiveness. It is based on the very essence of the word itself, forgive. Forgive means to be given before the offense. In other words, forgiveness was available and given before the wrong had ever been committed. A church, a group of people, whoever, who wants somebody to get up and tell them what wrong they have done, do not have biblical forgiveness. It ought to be forgiven before they ever did the wrong. That's biblical forgiveness. The word itself means to give before the offense. Watch this. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us before we sinned. He forgave us our sin before the foundation of the world if we would just trust him as our Savior. It was given before the offense. Man, that's good stuff. Now, this should take care of confessions, confessionals, church discipline, and shunnings, and the same such mess. God has given us the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. God has given us the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. And God has given, by the way, and he's also given us the Holy Spirit to help us with the word of God. You see, those are the things by which we do what God wants us to do so that God can do other things through us. Now, the glory for the fullness of the Holy Spirit then is for God, not for us. God made it possible for us to do his work as the Holy Spirit does it through us. But may I say this, there are many out there that do it in his name but don't do it his way. God says this fullness is for all flesh. It's for all flesh. Old flesh, young flesh. Leader flesh, follower flesh. Child flesh, teen flesh. Adult flesh, senior citizen flesh. People that have more flesh than other flesh. It doesn't matter. It says it's all flesh. Did I say that nicely enough? I was looking in the mirror. It's for the skid row bum as well as the preacher. It's for the teacher as well as the student. It's for the preacher as well as for the church member. In other words, it's for all flesh. Sunday night, drove to D.C., talked to that couple. You don't know the whole story. I tried for 3 weeks to see that family when the baby was in the NICU in Hagerstown. They didn't want to talk to any preacher. They've rejected the gospel, rejected their grandmother. Don't need it. But when things got real bad, yeah, have your preacher come. Thank God for a little godly old lady. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. By the way, a little lady who for 3 years couldn't come to our church because she can't get in an elevator. She's scared to death. She's so claustrophobic. And she wasn't well enough to walk up and down the steps. But every month sent her tithe to the church for 3 years. I walked in that door and Mrs. Diener was standing there. And she looked at me and she said, "Preacher." And I talked to the family for a while. I went down and we talked to the baby's parents and won them to Christ. I walked over and put my arm around Mrs. Diener. She said, "Thank you." And the family was thanking me for driving all that way. And I said, "Why would I not?" I leaned over to Mrs. Diener. I said, "By the way, they both got saved." She put her arms around me and squeezed me. She said, "I knew you could do it, preacher." And I said, "Mrs. Diener, I didn't do it. God did." I promise you that's what I said. And we walked away and I said, that young couple got saved because their grandmother is faithful to God. I believe that. 2:45 Tuesday morning, my phone rang. That young man was distraught. When you hear a 27, 28-year-old man sobbing uncontrollably at 2:45 in the morning, I said, "Doc, how can I help you?" "I don't know." He said, "It was time to get up and feed the baby," and I got up and went to his room, and he wasn't there. "I don't know how to handle this." For about 20 minutes, I talked to him. I'll tell you the saddest part of it. Sunday night, we're standing there in the parking garage, leading them to Christ, and the mama was holding a little baby blanket. Every once in a while, she'd smell it. She said, "I can still smell him." She started to drop that blanket. I caught it before it hit the ground. I said, "I know how important that is." She got saved. She folded that blanket up. She said, "I'm going to get to hold him again, aren't I?" I said, "You sure are." I said, "You keep that blanket. You remember that smell because you're going to smell it again someday." Can I tell you why that happened? Brother Dorsey and I got in the car, we drove off, and he said, "Preacher, wow, where do you learn to say those things?" I said, "You just learned." "I don't know." I said, "As all I can be is there. The Holy Spirit has to do the rest, Brother Dorsey."
"Yes, sir."
I said, "As all we have to do is give the truth and give hope. And God does the rest through us, but we've got to be yielded to him." "It's not me." First words I said to him, "I can't fix it." I couldn't, but I knew who could. Oh, by the way, 2:45, 3 o'clock in the morning, he finally got it together. Called me the next day. He said, "I feel so bad I called you at that hour." I said, "Why?" "I'm honored." He said, "We're coming to your church." He said, "I've never met a preacher that I ever wanted to go to his church before, but we're coming to your church."
Amen.
I said, "I'd be honored to have you walk through the door, my friend." Can I tell you something? That's what the Holy Spirit can do. But you have to be yielded. True story. Monday night, my wife and I were out on our date, stopped at Home Depot, grabbed a couple things, getting ready to go in line to pay for it. And guess who was, there was one person at the counter and the next person and then us. But the person at the register happened to be Brother and Mrs. Barnes. Just before I get there, I hear this, "Hey, preacher!" About that loud. I said, "Brother Barnes." And he was already doing business there. And I could hear him. The cashier said something, "Oh, you go to church?" Man, that was like a stink on a booger to him, man. Here he goes. So my wife and I were talking to Mrs. Barnes a little bit, and he got done, and I could hear him say just in the background, "But I don't have a church track. But you come." But my wife was there, and I said, "Honey, you got your purse?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I need track." So the other fellow paid, and we got there, and I just quietly just slipped her the gospel track like that. She said, "Baptist church." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "What kind of Baptist?" I said, "Old-fashioned King James soul winning." She said, "You've got to be kidding." I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Oh, I just love the Lord." She said, "I got saved years ago." She said, "I used to go to church." She gave me the name of the city in Pennsylvania. And I thought, she said, you wouldn't know my pastor. I said, "What's his name?" She told me, I said, "He and I went to Bible college together." I said, "We served in the same college ministry together." I said, "Now his son and daughter-in-law pastor that, or daughter-in-law, daughter and son-in-law pastor that church." "You know Brother Schultz?" I said, "I know them." I said, "I worked for Brother House." "You did? When were you there?" I told her. She said, "I was at the college at that time." She said, "We've been out of church." She said, "I need to get in church." I said, "Well, there's my address. There's the church. You come." "I can't wait to come." She said, "My husband's sick. I'm not sure I can be there this weekend, but we're coming. Mark it down." All that from one, "Hey, preacher." Now, I've got to tell you the funny part of this, because he was by the door. He didn't knock on the door. He brought the door with him. Man, I can see a soul winning skit out of that. You don't have a door, we bring it with you. Portable soul winning door. Here you go. Don't have one? No problem. Comes Brother Barnes with his door. Door of opportunity, amen. Say, how's that happen? The Holy Spirit. Somebody not ashamed of their preacher, somebody not ashamed of their church. And all that stuff getting wrapped around, tied around, years later, whoop, right back together. So, I must hurry. How do we then have the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Number one, we all need to yield to the Spirit. We all need to yield to the Holy Spirit. I think adults should lead the church spiritually. But an adult must be filled with the Holy Spirit to lead, not just be an adult to lead. I know a lot of adults who have leadership positions that wouldn't know the Holy Spirit if he slapped them upside the head. Just because you're an adult doesn't mean you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You might be saved, but do you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit? I believe teenagers should and can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe they should be. I preached for a man last week. He was my youth pastor. My dad will tell you this is as true as the gospel is. My home church, it was a growing church, it was a going church. But my pastor had just come out of the Southern Baptist Conventions and had very little standards. He hired this youth pastor that had standards. That youth pastor said, "You don't want to hire me because I'm going to preach what the truth is." And he said, "It's okay, you do it." And I'll promise you, he got a bunch of teenagers on fire for God. We started soul winning. The girls started dressing right. The guys started getting the haircut right and talking right. And it put so much pressure on that the preacher's wife had to change her wardrobe. The adult women in the church had to start changing to keep up with the teenagers. He and I talked about that. "Dad, I'm not lying, am I? It's the honest to God's truth. I watched a group of young people change a church because they got filled with the Holy Spirit of God." So if the adults won't do it, teenagers, step up, do it. It's okay. And by the way, if the adults are doing it, you step up and do it too. It's all right. You see, let me say this. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit while you fuss with your parents or your step-parents. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit if you fuss with your kids or your step-kids. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit when you fight with your brothers and sisters, whether they're children, teens, or adults. Ouch. I believe senior citizens can be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's hope for you, Marcia. There's hope. Now, let me say this. I mean this truly. Do you know the older you get, the harder it is to be spiritual in some ways? Because you are so set in your ways and you're so used to it that you're not consciously submitting. You have to consciously submit. We get so used to what was that we think what was now is. Be careful not to live in the world that was, but live in the world today as it is. I'm not saying you have to enjoy everything about the world today. But just because God used you 40 years ago doesn't mean he's using you now. Just because you saw him do something once doesn't mean he's still doing it through you. We have to stay submitted. In other words, the Holy Spirit, we all need to yield to him. Every age group, I believe children can surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit and be used by God. I've seen it. You doubt what I'm saying? You ought to know my children when they were real little. Man, we'd go to a restaurant. I was sitting there one night. My oldest, he must have been about 5 or 6. We'd just moved to Indiana. We're sitting at a Poppin' Fresh Pies or whatever that restaurant was there in Cherville right there. And the waitress comes out. And, of course, my kids were... And just went in her over, and she was working hard for her tip. And she was doing a good job. And all of a sudden, she comes back, and my son looks at her and says, "Are you saved?" She said, "No, but are you going to save me?" "Nope, but my mom or dad will." Folks, it's either fish or cut bait right then. You know, it's put up or shut up. I reached in my pocket and pulled out the tract and pulled out my New Testament, end up winning that waitress to Christ and the end of the table because of a 5 or 6 year old boy. "Are you saved?" Best soul winner I ever had. The worst time was when we were at the barber shop and the barber was smoking, cutting his hair. And he said, "Do you smoke?" He said, "Yeah, I shouldn't. You shouldn't either." He said, "You're going to die and go to hell." Poor guy just about sucked it all the way down his throat. He said, "That was not a happy time, let me tell you." They're cute when they do it at the right time, but when it's the wrong time, not good at all. You see, we all need the Holy Spirit. Number two, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is to all positions of people. Not only do we all need to yield to him, but it's for all positions. It's for me. It's for those who work on church staff. It's for Sunday school teachers. The fullness of... Hey, how would your Sunday school class go if the Holy Spirit were teaching it? It's for junior church and junior church workers. Amen, Brother Joe? Thank God we've got probably the greatest junior church preacher in America in Joe Lopez for our junior church. Let me tell you. Say why? Look at him. It's definitely not his looks. And I know him well enough to know it's not his smarts either. All right? But I'll show you a man that has yielded himself to the Holy Spirit of God to love those kids and to give those kids what God wants them to have. I have workers tell me this. I have kids tell me this. Brother Lopez just preached that. Amazing how many times he and I are on the same topics and we never talk about it. Say why? Holy Spirit. Gotta love it. It's for nursery workers too. Some church nurseries are the gossip section. Not going to happen here. I'd rather you not go change some diaper than to sit there and run your trashy mouth about somebody in a nursery somewhere. You better be filled with the Holy Spirit so that that child's parents can sit in this room and get what they need so that that child could be reared right and get saved at an early age. When's the last time you prayed for that nursery child to get saved early in life? It's for bus workers. It's for board members. It's for musicians. It's for ladies. It's for men. It's for greeters. It's for ushers. It's for all flesh, all positions of any kind in the church and in the work of God. It's for everybody. It's for those of you that just come and take up 18, 20, 24, however many inches of seat you take up. It doesn't matter. It is for all flesh. Now, so we all need to yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's for all positions. Hey, wouldn't it be great if the parking lot greeters were filled with the Holy Spirit? The greeters at the doors were filled with the Holy Spirit. The ushers were filled with the Holy Spirit. That way the offering plates were filled. The musicians were filled with the Holy Spirit. The preachers filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder what God could do with a church like that. Well, guess what? You're starting to see what it takes place here. You know, every Sunday and every Wednesday, I pray that every hand that shakes, that people would feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want people to know that the Holy Spirit is real, just shaking my hand. I'm not talking about tingle. Tingle doesn't have anything to do with it. You can tingle at anything. I can scare somebody and they can tingle. All right? But that doesn't mean it was the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about they sincerely know there's something different. If we all approach that. Say, well, it's all I do, preachers, come. Good. Come, sit, and ask for God to seat somebody next to you that you could be filled with the Holy Spirit with so that you could help them. The fullness of the Spirit is to reach and help people, not to show off what we have. It is not a display of tongues of a heavenly language. It's so that people can hear the gospel in their language. Acts chapter 2 doesn't say that the disciples spoke in tongues. It says every man heard in his own tongue. And for you to say, I got it, look what I just did. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It's not some carnival show faith healing. It's God's power so that people will listen to the gospel. Well, I've been places and prayed for people to get well, and they have. But I've also seen a lot of people get saved because of it. It wasn't faith healing. There are times their healing was them going to heaven so that their suffering was over. Everybody doing okay? It's not some seed money making scheme where people like Joel Osteen are worth $40 million. Joyce Myers is worth $25 million. And T.D. Jakes is worth over $150 million. Everybody doing okay? Oh, just give it to Jesus. You're not. They make a pretty bad Jesus, folks. Just so you know. I get pretty tired of those people giving me a bad name. When they quit doing it, I'll quit mentioning their names, just so you know. Until then, I'll expose them. Folks, that's fake. That's apostasy. That is making money off of people that they should not be making money off of. Let me ask you a question. Out of the $215 million of those three people, how many people have ever been saved? Give this church 215 million people and see how many people we could get saved. And my salary's not going up. I refuse to do that, just so you know. Number four, and I'm got to hurry. Whew. Get your fingers licked up. You're going to need it. How do we get filled with his power? Number one, we must beg him to fill us. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And I've got to hurry. Look at Luke chapter 11. Look at verse number 13. Man. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We could look earlier in that. It's talking about the word importunity. It literally means to beg. You don't ask one time and get it. It's asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, it says, "And be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." Can I tell you something? It's a command. Did you know God never commanded you to do something that you could not do? God never commands us to do something we cannot do. Thou shalt not lie. Guess what? You never have to lie. So you have to do is tell the truth. It's that simple. Thou shalt not kill. That's not hard to do. Just don't get married. I'm teasing. Don't have children. That for sure. God never commands us to do something we cannot do. By the way, that's why there's no call to soul winning. We're to obey the call, the command of soul winning. We are to take the gospel to every creature. Well, God hasn't convicted me about it. Doesn't have to convict you. He commanded you. Everybody doing okay? That's the responsibility of a Christian. We don't have to have a call when there's a command. When it was trash night, it was time to take the trash out. God, Dad didn't call. There was a command. And if the command wasn't obeyed, there was a price to pay. You see, we ought to beg the Holy Spirit for his fullness. I promise you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times every week, I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, to help me, to guide me, to help me help you, to every situation. I promise you hundreds of times. I don't want to do it in my flesh. You say, why? I'll mess it up. I hate to say this. Sunday night, how would you like to drive all the way to D.C. and talk to a family that just lost a six-week-old baby? What are you going to tell them? Say, what were you doing, preacher? Oh, God, help me. Holy Spirit, ain't nothing I got that's going to work here. Lord, help me. Over and over and over. I got Brother Dorsey. Preacher, what are you going to say? I don't know. This is one of those times I can't tell you. I can be there to try to comfort them. I can be there to give them the gospel. I can kind of tell them what's coming, but I can't fix it. So, next, my flesh is no more and no less important than others. We do not have time to turn to these five scriptures, but listen to me carefully. Judges chapter 6, verse number 34 says that the Spirit of God was upon Gideon. Judges chapter 14, verse number 6 says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Samson. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 6, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 13 says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon David. Acts chapter 9, verse number 17 said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Paul, or Saul, the apostle. Can I tell you something? I know this person. Dr. Jack Hiles was filled with the Spirit of God. I knew Dr. Lee Robertson was filled with the Spirit of God. I knew him. I met him. I've spent time with him. I knew Brother Roloff. And the Spirit of God was upon him. How many of you have ever heard or seen Lester Roloff? Oh, my soul, it's amazing how many have not. There was none like him, let me tell you. D.L. Moody was filled with the Spirit of God. Charles Spurgeon was filled with the Spirit of God. You can say what you want. I'm a little nobody. I've spent time in this room, my office, and I could take you hundreds of places. And I'd say, God, you did it for Brother Hiles. You don't love him more than you love me. I have the same Holy Spirit he has. If you did it for him, you got to do it for me. God, you did this for Charles Spurgeon. Why can't you do it for us? It may have been 120, 130 years ago, but it's the same Holy Spirit. God, it's not fair if you did it for him and not do it for us. Everybody doing okay? He did it for the Apostle Paul. If he did it for Paul, he's got to do it for us, or he's not a just God. And as I pray, I ask God to do, but by the way, I'm not so arrogant to think that I am one of those people. But I happen to know we have the same Holy Spirit. I love making this statement. Brother Joe, did you know you're just as saved as Jesus? Because you have the same Holy Spirit as he has. The moment you get saved, you're as saved as Jesus Christ. Well, if you're as saved as Jesus Christ with that Spirit, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord God was upon Jesus. You have the same Holy Spirit upon you as he did too. Next, get ready for problems and fire to come for after you. Part of the filling of the Holy Spirit is the problems you face and the fire that comes with it. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 3. I've got to hurry. Luke chapter 3, I'm almost done. Luke chapter 3, look at verse number 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now listen to this very carefully. That's not walking on hot coals. There are weirdos out there that think that. Being baptized with fire is this. Once the Holy Spirit fills you, there is a burning inside of you to do the work of God. There is fire that builds up. Can I tell you something? I'm like you. Man, I hope they're not home. Or just have Brother Barnes bring his door with him. Hey, preacher, then I don't have to knock on the door and be afraid, amen? But all of a sudden something happens, and I start witnessing, and you see that person bow their head and trust Christ. I promise you this, at about 11 o'clock on Sunday night when Brennan and Dana got saved, I was about to come unscrewed. I thought, I got to get out of this parking garage before too long because I'm about to shout. We got in the car, we drove out. I said, Brother Michael, hold your ears. He said, what for? And I said, well, glory. And I hollered. He said, now I know why. I said, it doesn't get any better than that, son. And then I get a text today. Well, we've gone 3 years and haven't had one person saved in our church. I want to get mad. You know why they don't have anybody saved? Because they don't present the gospel. I can't save anybody, but the gospel can. Boy, that's good stuff. Luke chapter 24, verses 49 through 53. You can look at it later. It talks about that the fire and the opposition that comes. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Guess what? That was right before Jesus left and went to heaven. And guess what they were facing? Then you get to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where he had the start of Pentecost, and it talks about cloven tongues as of fire. It wasn't fiery tongues that came, it was fire in their tongue. It was the Holy Spirit with the fire of God that pierced into people's hearts and souls and their minds so that they would get the gospel and be saved. It wasn't a flame like a snake tongue. But in their tongue was the fire of God. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. Folks, people say often, preacher, you hit that pulpit. You hit that thing hard. Doesn't that hurt? No. Say, why? I don't even know I do it. I really don't. It is the fire of God built up in me that makes it happen. Till Brother Jimbo builds me one of them pulpits and says, "Don't hit that thing, preacher. You hit that one, it's going to explode." I've got to finish. Yes, you will need to live separate from the world. Yes, you'll need to be faithful to the church and the work of Christ. Yes, you'll need to be learning and living his word. But you'll need to beg and plead for the fullness of the Holy Spirit for him to work through you. Not so you can say, "Look at me." The moment you do that, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, just hastens away. He'll withdraw from you. No, the Holy Spirit will come by fire when you're not the issue and he is. And he's allowed to work through you. Do you know how hard it is to walk up to a young couple who just gave their baby away over to a doctor or to a nurse to take it to the morgue and say, "Do you know for sure you're going to heaven someday?" It takes a little bit of fire. But wouldn't you like to see him again? Oh, yeah. Well, let me show you how you do that. Before I got that far, she says, "Well, how can you know for sure?" He. God already gave it. I said, "I'm glad you asked. Let me show you." And I showed her. And I showed him. And they both stood there and trusted Christ. It takes a little bit of fire in your soul to do that. It takes a little bit of want to inside there. The Holy Spirit needs to be begged. No doubt, I most often pray for the Holy Spirit to fill me, to use me, so that I can help people, not so I can say, "Look at me." Folks, I'm nothing but what you are, a dirty, rotten sinner. My flesh is the same as your flesh, but I beg him to use me in spite of that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to fill you? It's for all flesh. Old flesh, young flesh, leaders, followers, parents, children. It doesn't matter. It's for all flesh. So that we can do the work of Christ together. That's what it's all about.